Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Today we're reading texts 12 and 13. 12 doesn't have a purport. I'll read it myself. We'll chant text 13 together. Text 12. Ityukto dharmarajena sarvam tat samavarnayat itanu bhutam kramasho vinayadu kulakchayam. Translation. Thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Text 13. Nanva priyam Durvishaham Nrinam Swayam Upastitam Navedaya Sakarano Dukitan Drashtum Akshamaha Nanvapriyam Durvishaham Nrinam Swayam Upastitam Navedayat Sakarano Dukitandrastum Akshamaha Nanvapriyam Durvishaham Nrinam Swayam Upastitam Navedayat Sakarano Dukitandrastum Akshamaha Nanvapriyam Durvishaham Nrinam Swayam Upastitam Navedayat Sakarano Dukitandrastum Akshamaha. Akhyam Shaham. Vinam Swayam Upasitam. Sakarano Sampriyam Nupriyam Nirvayam Upasitam Vedayat Sakarano Sampriyam Upasitam Vaishnavis. Namva priyam visaham. Swayam upasitam. Namva priyam visaham. Nanu. As a matter of fact, apriyam, unpalatable, durvishaham, unbearable, nrinam, of humankind, swayam, in its own way, upasthitam, appearance, na, did not, avedayat, expressed, sakarunaha, compassionate, dukitan, distressed, drastum, to see, akshamaha, unable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. Purport. According to Niti Shastra, civic laws, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So no one should aggravate it by propaganda. For a compassionate soul like Vidura, especially in his dealings with the beloved Pandavas, it was almost impossible to disclose an unpalatable piece of news like the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, he purposely refrained from it. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport the Niti Shastras, the civic laws. And in his teachings, he sometimes quotes from them. You know, there's some famous examples that come from the Niti Shastras, like, you know, a serpent with a jewel on his head is still dangerous. And Srila Prabhupada would say that in connection with, you know, modern politicians and scientists and philosophers. You know, they may be in a certain sense very respectable in terms of the judgment of modern society, but, you know, because their ideas are very dangerous, they're like serpents with jewels on their head. You know, the jewel on the head may be very nice, but still it's a serpent, very dangerous. But here, Srila Prabhupada is specifically mentioning one of the Niti Shastra directions that one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. We see in this age of Kali that people often do that, particularly on the internet. You know, there's the phenomenon of trolling on the internet where, you know, people say things that may be true, but they do it to try to cause agitation and disturbance to others. And maybe in our individual lives, we also have to be careful about that. I mean, one typical example would be, and maybe I'm guilty of this myself even, you know, you have your parents. And you could tell them something that's literally true, like, I've had millions of parents in my many lifetimes in this material world, so you're very insignificant. You know, you could be like that. You're speaking something that's true, but it's unpalatable, it's disturbing, it's agitating. So one of the austerities in the practice of bhakti yoga is austerity of speech. And, you know, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the performance of divine austerities is the actual purpose of human life. Nayam deho bhajam niroke kashtan kaman arhatam vidbucham ye tukho divyam puchka yena satvam shudyat yasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. The instruction is there. Human life is not simply meant for carrying out the same activities that the animals carry out, namely eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Human life is meant for tapo divyam, divine austerities. And by the performance of these divine austerities, one becomes purified and qualified to experience Brahma Saukhyam Tranantam, the unlimited happiness, the unlimited bliss, ananda, of spiritual life. So one of the austerities that are listed in the Bhagavad Gita is the austerity of speech. You know, there's one verse in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya vyasana chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. So this means there's the austerity of speech. And austerity of speech is characterized by anudvega karam. Udvega means disturbance. Udvega karam means to cause disturbance. And a means not. So anudvega karam. Vakyam. Speech should not be disturbing. Speech should have the characteristic of being satyam, the truth, you know, the absolute truth. And in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to distinguish reality from illusion for the benefit of all. So devotees are always trying to do that, to speak to people the truth, you know, to tell them the real facts. You're not your body, you're a spirit soul, you're an eternal servant of Krishna. And this should, so that's one aspect of it, to speak the truth, but another aspect is not to unnecessarily cause agitation and disturbance among others. Priya is another characteristic of the austerity of speech. It means to speak in a way that is generally pleasing. Hitam means for the welfare of others, for the ultimate welfare of others. And Swadhyaya Abhyasana means the speech should be illuminated by the study of scripture. In other words, we should be reciting scripture, or we should be speaking things that are consistent with the conclusions of Shastra, with the actual Siddhanta or conclusion of Shastra. So this is, according to Bhagavad Gita, the austerity of speech. But in his purport to that verse, you know, Srila Prabhupada makes an important distinction that sometimes a teacher may have to criticize a student. You know, a guru may have to correct a disciple. And that, in a sense, can be disturbing and agitating to the mind of the person who is being corrected or instructed in that way. So sometimes it has to be done, but Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, that should be done by the teacher or guru to his or her disciples or students. So there's an important qualification there. But the general principle, as stated by, you know, Srila Prabhupada in this purport, is not to speak unpalatable truths to cause distress to others. We should try not to do that. So, what is that unpalatable truth that Vidura did not want to mention to King Yudhisthira? It's being explained in these verses and purport that it has to do with the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. So, the Yadu dynasty includes King Ugrasen, Krishna's father and mother, and, you know, his wives and family members who were in Dwarka. The Pandavas, they were also related to Krishna, but they're in Hastinapur. So at this time that Vidura is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Yadu dynasty and Krishna himself have already left the planet. So Krishna has his appearance pastimes. He also has his disappearance pastimes. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti suarjana. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that his pastimes, his activities, his appearance, and his disappearance are all transcendental and divine. And if one properly understands them, one becomes qualified to enter into Krishna's eternal association as his eternal associate. So the details of how the Yadu dynasty and Krishna and Balaram left this planet after being on it for over 100 years. Those details are given in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was an arrangement by Krishna himself You know, sometimes we see, you know, that there are famous actors who act in movies, but they are also directors at the same time. So the director may arrange, the director and the actor, the main actor being the same, the director may say, okay, we'll come on the stage like this, the movie will begin like this, and it will end like that. So Krishna does the same thing. He's the main actor in his pastimes, but he's also the director of the whole show. So he can choose, I will appear like this with all my associates, and then I will disappear like this with all my associates. So when Krishna was in Dwarka, the demigods came to visit him, and he disclosed to them, I'm going to wind up my pastimes on this world, and I'm also going to remove my personal relatives, the Yadu dynasty. I'm going to take them with me. So the arrangement that he made is interesting. There was a gathering of sages near Dwarka, and some teenage boys, members of the Yadu dynasty, including one of Krishna's sons, Samba, went to this gathering of sages, and like teenage boys sometimes do, they wanted to have some fun with the old sages. So they dressed up Samba like a pregnant woman, and they went to the sages and they said, what do you think's going to come of this pregnancy? What kind of child will be born? And, you know, the sages, they could detect they were being played around with and they didn't like it very much. So they said, this child will actually be an iron club that will destroy your entire dynasty. So the boys became a little bit afraid, so they went home and they disclosed what had happened to King Ugrasena and the other members of the Yadu dynasty. And King Ugrasena ordered, okay, this club, this iron club, should be ground to dust. And thrown, the dust should be thrown into the sea. So this was done. You know, there was the dust of the ground up iron club was thrown into the sea. And there was a little piece of iron also that didn't get ground up. So it's explained that the little particles of iron washed up on the shore at a place called Prabhas Chetra, and they grew into canes, and they were remaining there on the shore. And the little piece of iron was eaten by a fish, and the fish was caught. And the piece of iron was discovered by a person named Jara, who made it into an arrowhead. So then, later, Krishna called the members of the Yadu dynasty together, and he reminded them of the curse by the sages that their dynasty was going to be destroyed. And at the time Krishna was saying these things, there were all kinds of disturbances going on. There were earthquakes. The sun, there was a halo around the sun. There were other kinds of disturbances visible in the sky. So Krishna said, I think you should all go to Prabhas and perform sacrifices. So the members of the Yadu dynasty all went to this place, Prabhas Kshetra, and they performed sacrifices. But as part of the sacrifices, they also took some intoxicating beverages. And they were allowed to do that as Kshatriyas, but under the influence of these intoxicating beverages, they became angry at each other, and they began fighting and quarreling with each other, and it escalated to the extent that they began killing each other. They began taking these canes that had grown on the shore, and they turned into iron rods. So with these iron rods, they began smashing each other and killing each other. And they were so disturbed that they even began attacking Krishna and Balaram, who then began to destroy them all. And then Balaram left this planet, and shortly thereafter, Krishna was sitting under a peepala tree, and this hunter, Jara, using the arrow with the iron tip on it, shot at his foot, which he had mistaken for a deer somehow. But anyways, Krishna left this world at that time. But all of our acharyas explain it was like a dramatic performance arranged by Krishna that he was going to depart in this way. So Vidura knew about all this. He knew about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, the disappearance of Krishna and Balaram, which is like the appearance and disappearance of the sun. You know, the sun comes up in the morning, but when the sun comes above the horizon, that doesn't mean the sun comes into existence. It was already there. It just came up over the horizon. And when the sun goes down below the horizon, it doesn't disappear. It continues to exist. So Krishna's appearance and disappearance are like that. And like a dramatic performer, he arranges it as he pleases. So Vidura was aware of all this, but he knew that the Pandavas, King Yudhisthira and the others, were very, very attached to Krishna. This would have been very disturbing to them if he had said this. So he declined to do it, according to these verses and this purport. So, so this is part of the austerity of speech. Controlling speech is very important. You know, it's said in the Nectar of Destruction, of instruction, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegan yo vishudheta dira, sarvamapi mam prativim sasishyat. This means vacha vegam, one has to control the urge to speak. So the urge to speak is there, but we're getting some instruction in these verses and purports that we have to control our urge to speak. And speak always in a way that is truthful, that is for the benefit and welfare of people, that isn't unnecessarily disturbing. And that is based on Shastra, the conclusions of the Vedic literature. That is austerity of speech, control of speech. Vacha vegam, manasa vegam, we should control the mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that the mind is very difficult to control. It's just like the wind going here and there. But wherever it goes, we have to bring it back under the control of the self. Krodhavegam. You know, there's a tendency to become angry. And there are legitimate cases when it's proper to become angry. But one has to control the force of anger. Manasa Krodhavegam, Jivavegam. One has to control the tongue in terms of what it tastes and what it eats. So we control our tongue by eating only prasadam, food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Udara Pasta Vegam, one has to control the belly and the genitals. So it's stated that if one is able to control all of these things, speech, anger, the mind, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, then one is qualified to accept disciples all over the world. Prithivim sashishyat. You know, that's the actual qualification. You know, one should be a Goswami. Goswami means, one of the meanings is controller of the senses. So one should be able to control all of these things. Then one is qualified to be a representative of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments?
Thank you, Prabhu. This is like a common question. One day in Janmashtami, one lady brought her little daughter. She was 8 years old. And she told me that she loved Krishna, the little daughter. And then the mother told me, can you explain that part that you just described about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty to my little daughter, because every time she reads, she cries. She doesn't like that pastime. So then I did my best to explain to her, to the little girl. And then my question is, you know, in this material world, usually we have accustomed to hear stories with a happy ending. And it appears that in our scripture sometimes there's a very drastic ending. So this scripture is actually, my question to you is, it appears to me that it's mostly just for highly qualified people. Can you make a comment on that? Just highly qualified people to understand.
Yes, it requires some qualification to understand these things. And one of the qualifications is to accept that we don't know, and that on our own, by the exercise of our own mental and intellectual faculties, we're not capable of understanding these things. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. These things have to be understood through the teachings that come down through disciplic succession. In other words, we need a proper source of understanding these things, which are beyond ordinary human comprehension. So either directly from Krishna's words or from the words of Krishna's bona fide representatives, the acharyas in the line of disciplic succession, we have to understand these things. And our understanding is going to be based on our level of surrender, our adhikar, our qualification. which comes from the practice of bhakti yoga. So, yes, these things are very difficult to understand, and sometimes they're unpleasant. That's why, you know, Vidura is hesitating to reveal these things to Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas. But our Acharyas give the basic information that Krishna is directing all these things, and this is the way he chose to do it. So, you know, sometimes I find that this example of the actor being the actual director of a movie is helpful for getting people to understand. You know, like in some movies, you know, you have Tom Cruise or Clint Eastwood or Robert Redford. They're the main character, but they're also the director. The director of the show, or Sylvester Stallone sometime. They're the main character in the movie, but they're also the director, which means they're responsible for telling the story and making everything happen. So they do it for dramatic effect. But it's ultimately a play. It's called Leela. It's a pastime. It's a play. And it's ultimately for our benefit. If we understand it properly, we'll understand Krishna is still there. He hasn't disappeared. His associates nothing has happened to them, really. They were in a play. They were acting the roles that Krishna gave them. And they still exist. Krishna still exists. They still exist. They're happy. They're eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Nothing is wrong. It's just a lesson for us in this material world that we shouldn't think we can be eternally happy in this material world. If we want to be eternally happy, we have to join Krishna in his eternal pastimes, and he's showing us how to do that. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.